Lord be with you.
And also with you.
I don't think there are any particular about the service today, so we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with the opening sentence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
The Son of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
We sing our opening. Please stand for the confession and absolution. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Lord God, as we look into the mirror of your law, we see ourselves as we really are. We each see a person who struggles to control their tongue. We find ourselves saying things we shouldn't and not saying what we should. We each see a person who struggles to control their thoughts. We find ourselves troubled with things that are in your capable hands. We find our minds and hearts invaded by such things as revenge, jealousy, lust, and greed. We each see a person who struggles to live as one who is dead to sin and alive in Christ. We find ourselves wanting and living and to walk according to your ways, but instead we miss the mark. Lord Jesus, we bring these sins to you this day, the sins we have spoken out loud and the ones we cry out from the depths of our soul. We come from seeking forgiveness you won for us. Create in each one of us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Baptized children of God, Jesus died to sin and rose to life again so that we might do the same. As God's chosen people, we are dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. As a commissioned servant of the Word and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together. Almighty God, open our hearts, and our minds to hear your word and lead us by your Spirit to follow it, especially when doing so creates challenges and hardships for us as your people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
The Old Testament reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 to 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from the ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord.
The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 119. We read it as indicated. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your words is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise.
The epistle reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. Or do you know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old ways of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus speaks, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus begin to give his disciples some instructions because they were being sent out on a mission. Jesus knew that it was going to be difficult for them, and so he gave them some warnings in advance. He told them that there was going to be some persecution and that people would hate them, because after all, they hated Jesus, how much more might they hate his disciples? He warned them that they might be dragged into courts and that they might be flogged. He warned them that they were going to run into dissension even within families. But he also gave them some encouragement. He told them, "Do not fear, for I am going to be with you." And he reminds them that even the very hairs of their head are numbered. He reminds them that God knows when even the smallest bird, a sparrow, for example, dies. And he reminds them that they, as his disciples, are very much more important than such a small little bird, even many such little birds. And he reminds them that when they acknowledge him before other people, he, Jesus, will acknowledge them before God. Today's text continues in that introduction to them and the instructions that he was giving them. But today we find some words that are a little bit difficult to understand, and so I think it's important that we take a look at them carefully. The opening verse of the gospel today is this: "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Wait a minute. What's all this peace on earth stuff that we hear at Christmas? All this goodwill toward men? What about Jesus going to his disciples saying, "Peace be with you"? When you get to a house, say, "Peace to this house." What is this all about? How can a weapon, a sword, how can a weapon of war help his cause of peace and loving your neighbor as yourself? Jesus is saying, "I'm not here to bring prosperity to this world or quietness or rest. Rather, I'm here to bring a sword." And swords divide things. They separate things. By implication, that word that is translated sword also means controversy or war or judicial punishment. And that's what God is here, or what Jesus is here to bring. Rather, he says, "I bring a sword." We have to be careful how we see that word sword. Let's talk first about what he is not saying. Jesus is not saying that he's declaring war on anyone. He is not saying that we should declare war on anyone. And he's not really talking about spiritual warfare. That word sword is used as a metaphor, an image, or a representation of the inevitable separation between those who believe and those who don't believe. And that separation may well bring controversy within families. You may know such a family that is divided into believers and unbelievers. While it's true families should not be divided that way, they are. You may know a family who is divided by beavers and ducks, and that's okay, but being divided as believers and unbelievers, that's the division that Jesus is speaking about. And then Jesus goes on to say that a person's enemies, that is, their adversaries or their foes, will be those from his own household. You'll remember that even Jesus' family didn't believe in him. They thought he was a little bit strange, and they kind of tended to ignore him. His brother James, the author of that book in the New Testament, did not believe in Jesus until after the resurrection. And then Jesus goes on with some more challenging words. These are not so difficult to understand. but they're difficult to accept. Jesus says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is talking to his disciples today. He's asking them for unqualified allegiance. Today he asks us for that same allegiance. He said to the disciples, and he is saying to us, that loving God must take precedence over even family relationships. He's asking the disciples and us for absolute allegiance to him. He's looking for disciples today who will place God first in their life. Jesus is looking for disciples today who choose God even before family. And he is speaking to us. That's a pretty challenging expectation. Are you up to that challenge? Can you place God above everything else in your life, even above your family? The simple answer that I thought when I asked myself that question was definitely a qualified sometimes, but then only on a very good day. You see, following Jesus compared to the rest of the world is a very, very radical concept that human nature just abhors. We want to follow our own selfishness, our own human ideas. We want to place our family before anything else. You will certainly admit that following someone that you cannot see or touch or feel is just not how the world would have us live. Following Jesus, that means that we must give up our wants and our desires and even what we demand in this life. Following Jesus means that we have to embrace God's will, no matter how or how much it may cost us. And yet Jesus wants us to strive for that eternal life that he promises, that he has earned in our place. And we end up failing because we don't put Christ first in our lives. Too many times we would rather follow our own desires and our own earthly pleasures. I'm reminded of a story that I came across. It's a prayer that someone prayed. It goes like this. Dear Lord, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy. I haven't been grumpy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a minute, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to need a lot of help from there on. Luther reminds us that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or follow him. We fail every day. When I was a brand new shiny lieutenant in the Navy, I got some advice from a supposedly wise old commander who was telling me how I should act and what I should do in the Navy to survive, to do well, to get promoted and get ahead. He used these words, or words similar to them. He said, when a new commanding officer takes over, you align yourself with him, with his goals and his aspirations. And that way, everything that you do will be supporting him and his desires, and he will think well of you. I still remember him using his hands in that aligning yourself. Well, that may work in the Navy. It may work in the world. But I don't think that works very good if you have a relationship with God. The problem with that philosophy is that there's a new commanding officer every year, and every year then you are changing your alignment with somebody else. And that means you change your loyalties and you change your ideals and lots of other things that may be difficult for you to do. God asks us to align ourselves with Him and remain loyal even during the controversies of this life. Even among the strife that we see from day to day, especially in families. We can't do that. We just don't, we aren't able to succeed in that every day. But where we fail, Jesus has come to our rescue, and He has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus took up His cross. He paid the penalty for our sins so that in our failings we are not lost. Today, Jesus is looking for a few good disciples. He's looking for us to align ourselves not with just some person, but with the Creator of the universe. And Jesus says there are great rewards to doing so. As Jesus' disciples, we bear His message. And there is a reward for those who carry that message to others. And there's a reward for those who accept that message that we bear to them. To those who do so, there is a great gift of peace with God. There is patience in tribulation. There is confidence to pray, knowing that our prayers will be answered. And most importantly, there is that gift of eternal life. Let me close with a poem that I came across this week that summarizes what we say today. The Lord Christ wanted a tongue one day to speak a message of cheer to a heart that was weary and worn and sad and weighed down with a mighty fear. He asked me for mine, but I was quite busy with my own affairs from morning until night. The Lord Christ wanted a hand one day to do a loving deed. He wanted 2 feet on an errand for Him to run with gladsome speed. But I had need of my own that day. To His gentle beseeching, I answered nay. So all that day I used my tongue, my hands and my feet as I chose. I said some nasty, bitter words that hurt one heart, God knows. I busied my hands with worthless play, and my willful feet went a crooked way. And the dear Lord Christ, was His work undone for the lack of a willing heart? Only through men does He speak to men. Dumb He must be apart. I do not know, but I wish today I had to let the Lord Christ have His way. Today, Jesus asks us for the use of our hands and our voice and our feet to do His work. Let Him have His way. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our post-sermon hymn. We offer our gifts to God. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of creation, today and every day, you call us to be your disciples, asking that we put you first in our lives. And in doing that, you promise us the peace that surpasses all understanding and eternal life. Grant us strength in body, mind, and spirit to take up our cross daily and to follow you. Lord, in your mercy. God, our Father, in these last days we see conflict in our families, between husbands and wives struggling to stay together until death does them part, between brothers and sisters who are at odds with one another in conflict among extended families. Almighty Father, we pray that you bring peace and healing to all families everywhere. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, on this Independence Day weekend, we give you thanks for the lavish blessing of freedom. Give to the leaders of our land moral integrity, discernment, humility, and unity of purpose. Protect those who protect us. Silence the violence that is so pervasive in our streets and schools. Give us generous hearts so that we people may feed the people who are in need and make sure they are clothed and educated. Let our country be a beacon of hope to nations throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, you gave us a world with everything we could ever need to sustain our bodies. And yet some on this planet experience famine and hunger, and the earth is ravaged with pestilence, hurricanes, heat waves, hail, earthquakes, and other disasters, reminding us of the broken world in which we live. Lord God, guide us in being good stewards of this earth, and lead us to provide for those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Healing Lord Jesus, we ask you to strengthen and preserve all who call out to you with illnesses or disabilities, in sorrow and mourning, in isolation and fear. We pray for your healing presence and power to be on Paula, Dan, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Sherry, Marv, Piper, and Norm. We lift up those who cannot be with us today: Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Keep each of these strong in your faith that they may resist the doubts and temptations that come to them. Surround them with people who love and care for them. Strengthen them in their weakness and bless them with your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you have called us to follow you and have baptized us into your holy name. You have set us apart to be your witness, and you have called us to go to the ends of the earth with the good news of your unconditional, all-accepting love. Lord Jesus, lead us and all your people to reveal you to others through the words and actions. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, O Lord, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God. As you spoke to the prophets of old, you speak to us today through your Son, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. You guide us through your Word and guard us with your Spirit as we continue our journey through the desert wasteland to the promised land that awaits us in your kingdom. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we raise our voices to glorify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, for you faced the full force of the persecution, rebellion, anger, and rage that this world harbors against you and all who are connected to your body. Yet you continue to stay focused on the will of the Father, sacrificing yourself for the sins of the world. We praise and thank you for your sacrifice for our sins as you died our death. As we come to your table, fill us with the forgiveness you won for us through your perfect life, death, and resurrection, and lead us to everlasting life, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it, gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for all people. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and your blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and to confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming in the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share God's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ. The body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you into life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen us into a life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Blessings of Almighty God be with you today and tomorrow and forever. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. You are free. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's table. Thank you. Let us pray. We give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, for nourishing us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation in this holy meal. Lead us to walk according to your will and according to your ways, because you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. If any have announcements, please come forward. Seeing none, we'll sing our closing hymn. Be seated. Eva, is it your granddaughter-in-law? Is that the relation? We have a young lady here from the Philippines this morning, and so I encourage you to welcome her. She'll tell you all about the Philippines and more than you ever knew, probably. Go in peace, serve the Lord.